Blog Talk Radio.
Effects where Masons are able to pull back for a second from their labors and think and talk and contemplate and reflect and enjoy some company for an hour, a bit of music to help relax and focus the mind, and some stimulating topics and ideas and thoughts out of a sea of information about Freemasonry. Oftentimes I think of it as walking along a beach. I can have recollections from the time I was a small boy until this age, where just seeing all of the things, all the findings that come out, especially after a storm, and just being amazed that the oceans could produce so much. And now, as I'm closing in on 69 years old, I'm finding that I look at the oceans with a bit of pity at ourselves, at what we've done. I had no idea when I was a little boy, and probably had any of us known, we would have taken steps. I want to be optimistic and think that we use science and we use the information that we have available to protect ourselves. But I know that that's not always the case. We don't always use that's common sense. So let's refocus today. We'll listen to a little bit of what we have here at Masonic Effects. Nice. It's the first day of April where I am. It's either today or tomorrow, somewhere on the face of the earth. It depends on what side of that dateline that we're resting our feet on. It's a pleasure to have you here. This is the 90th day of the year where I am. That leaves us with 275 days to get on with our Masonic work. With the absolute joy that every day brings. And if it's not bringing it for you, you're either ignoring it on purpose or you're just not looking hard enough. Some days it's a bit more of a struggle than others. But every day is complete with meaning. No question about that. We have 80 days. As I sit here, It's a spring day where I am, and fall perhaps where you are, on the other top of the globe. Only 80 days left till solstice. So that stirs the blood in those little druid hearts, doesn't it? That we're going to actually do something pre-Christian, pre-Islamic, that we're going to look up at the stars with wonder and try, if we have still have the ability, to tap in to our imagination, to perhaps today feel a lot safer about ourselves than 1,000 years ago when we looked up and felt that the sun and the heavens were magical, that they somehow had an energy and a power that controlled everything, including us, including our thoughts and purpose, and that we had a currency with the heavens, and that we had certain practices that we needed to follow, superstitions, coincidence, whatever we like to think of it today with our current form of logic, practices that would allow us to influence the outcome, to give us a better outcome. So we needed the sun to return on a given day so that we could ensure that our plantings weren't for waste. It's not too much of an too unusual. I think if I ask you to do that today, there is a magical quality to the work of Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking's funeral was yesterday, and he's going to be interred next to the remains of Isaac Newton. It does underline some important information. What I'm trying to understand, like many, and to the mathematicians out there that tune in, is how is mathematics the language of the universe? Now, is mathematics, and the logical extension in philosophy, a product of nature, a product of the cosmos, or is it a product of the mind, the human mind? And is that a product of nature? It makes me, when we're busy making our calculations, that type of thing is trivia. It doesn't make us clever to have these kind of clever thoughts, but it does make us wonder, doesn't it? As I have often thought, as I look down at my wristwatch, which no longer is on my wrist because I carry a phone, I would be hard-pressed to explain to you or a small child what it is we're measuring. What is time? I use it. I walk around. It helps me to organize my thoughts and my day. It helps me to calculate distance. You know? Distance, speed, time. Every sailor has that in mind. But what is it? Well, now we've folded that into time, space. As I'm reading through explanations, for brief seconds, I have this, what I can declare is an understanding, an understanding of it all. So, listeners from all over the place, I want you to be able to take a deep breath. Oh, do it, yeah. Take a deep breath. Let it out very, very slowly. Or as you're sitting back, sip. The nice thing about the program is it goes out there. Some tune in live and some wait until it's at their leisure. I do a little bit of both, as you can imagine, when I'm listening to episodes again. You know, trying to improve always. Sit back with my favorite scotch and put my hands behind my head and a notepad beside me. I'm trying to always understand. No, I'm convinced that the Occam's razor is the way for the likes of me, and perhaps for some of you. So sit back, and I'll just give an acknowledgement at this point in the show, as I tend to do. The show today, the commentary, is on committing to the truths of Freemasonry, finding your inner Masonic nature. Hear, 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 hear. To listeners, an acknowledgement and a greeting in Masonic fashion, if you'll allow, to South Korea. I see our listening group is increasing, and in Brazil, hello. Russia, always a distinct honor and pleasure to have you connecting with us. The Philippines. And I'd like to say just that I'd like to be able to drill down a little more and unpack the actual cities and locations, but I can't, not with the statistical profile available to me on this broadcast. But the Philippines, the United States, Uganda. Hello, Uganda. How are you? I hope you're doing well and you're enjoying the program. You keep coming back. And India, of course. Of course. How can we carry on as Masons and invest ourselves in an understanding of the universe and without having a connection with listeners in India? And then China. An honor. An honor. And as you know, we look to wisdom coming from the East. Yep. France, where you've given the world one of your native sons as an example of honor and dignity. The gendarme, Arnaud, gave his life to save a hostage. The Grand Lodge of France should be and will be perhaps more dignified because of his actions. And of course, after France, the United Kingdom, and lastly, our group for here in Canada. Wow, thank you. Thank you for all the support. It's we're going to have a good program today. I want to, this is there's a strangeness to this day for me. This is a high Christian holiday. It's a festival and a holiday here, and it's celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And this is found in the New Testament, early writings of Christianity, and comes after his burial. After his crucifixion by the Lord, let's not forget who did it, you know, in 30 AD. But we refer to this as Holy Week. And it contains the Triduum, Easter Triduum, Maundy, Thursday, commemorating the Maundy and Last Supper, and then Good Friday. And then in Western Christianity, Eastertide begins on Sunday and lasts for 7 weeks, ending on the 50th day, Pentecost Sunday. Anyway, it's Easter. So, a day of a coming together. It's also related to Passover, which is regarded the Christian fulfillment. So, to all, I hope you're well and with those that you love. And to our brethren in Syria, the civilians and people fighting for their rights and freedoms and for their beliefs. May peace be with you, truly. Follow the language of the prophets, and peace you will find, I believe. Oh, take a deep breath. It's also April Fool's Day. The annual celebration in some European and Western countries, commemorated by playing practical jokes and spreading hoaxes. Oh, that's a real knee slapper, isn't it? So, for all of you who are sitting there with your copy of Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, you know, just crack that open and you'll see the association between April 1st and foolishness. Just a knee slapper. The nun's priest's tale set in the March begin 30 days and two. There you go. This is about as much as I can butcher the old English. But let's get on with some more interesting stuff, eh? This is not to be belabored anymore. This is some music to help focus, as I think all of us can appreciate. I like to think of you in that relaxed frame of mind. Put aside the pressures of the day and the cares of and distractions, and be in the moment with us. This is Arina Blagojevic. Did I get that fairly close? Yeah, this is a Serbian singer who is absolutely exquisite. Yeah.
Thank you.
just brilliant. Lovely, lovely voice. What a talent. We are Arena Blagojevic. Lovely. Nora, thanks for that one. I want to remind everyone that we have the World Cup this year in Russia. I'm looking, I think people like me are looking forward to it. And to people in Russia, we just acknowledge what we all know as thoughtful people. Politics, eh? We won't let politics ruin a sporting event, something that we all enjoy, the competition. And whether that's the zealots carrying on or the bigots feeling that it's an opportunity to come out from under their rock, or the puffed shirts letting out a bit of hot air. I hope it goes well for us. And of course, I hope that Germany prevails. There's a lot of good competition around the world. I wouldn't kill you. That bunch in Italy is overdue, and in France is overdue, and the Netherlands. What is going on? It's been since the '70s. You know, where do you start? Uruguay. I mean, step up, huh? There. And of course, how many other countries qualify? Mexico, you know. There's some stunning football going on right now. Anyway, let's get to the commentary and be reminded, it doesn't have to be this hard. It doesn't have to be this hard, and we know that. We overcome the pettiness of our conceits, our egos. We put that aside. We're taught, we're asked, it's explained to us. Even the motto of the order, shh, quiet, listen, observe, in silence, that's what we do those things, we call it respect, or we may call it mathematics, right? Committing to the truths of Freemasonry, here, finding your inner Masonic nature. Let's see if we can take a step in that direction together. Mm-hmm. These days, yes. Authenticity has been bantered around more than usual. Being hurtful is commonly thought to be wrong-minded, but not everyone subscribes to that concern. If we want to witness the true character of a person, give them a taste of power. Freemasons don't use the term at all. Responsibility, commitment, loyalty, sincerity, and authenticity are terms that reframe demagogy and despotism as destructive, aggrandizing hubris. Our sense of leadership is not that of control, but of duty to the people being led. Freemasonry, constitutionally and philosophically, respects that each individual has agency. It would make conspiracists swoon if they knew that, in fact, deeper levels of meaning unknown to all but a few. Learning about the layers of meaning is subjective, and it's based on ability and curiosity. If I say to you, happiness is the goal, how would you know it is true? It is an original element of Masonic architecture that has been passed from one to another for centuries. If one is temperamental, control of emotion would open the door. Ignorance is the darkness. It takes insight to recognize the self in all its glory, warts and all, aspirations, ability, gaps. A life unexamined is not worth living. Socrates was not being unkind. He was resurrecting a notion. At the end of days, he could not imagine being ignorant of self. Unvarnished, truthful, accepting, insight. So be afraid. Insight is facing the enemy in us. The enemy. As if we're boys. Huh? Those thoughts that hold us back, that confuse and limit our potential. And if a person makes the choice to follow this path in the mind, it will replace what we want to believe with another. Between idealism and failings is our true nature. When a Freemason steps into that level of understanding, the crowd thins. He stands alone. And he is fine with that. In fact, he's happy. Little Paul Desmond. The great aperitif for the commentary. Thank you. sometimes it just takes your breath away. Does it work for you? I hope so. We sometimes find it difficult to get into this the frame of mind that we need to absorb, to let the discussion and let the ideas sort of settle on us and go through our minds. Always with the, we need to be able to handle the essential challenge. Can our true nature be influenced by Masonry? Not with some bold challenge to immature, to a boy. This is something for a man to determine. If you're blind to your arrogance, if you're blind to your aggression, or if you know about it and tolerate it and justify it, can those tendencies, I presume those tendencies are unpleasant for the people around you and are disguising your true nature? Can you compartmentalize or realize that there's a deeper you? And I tend to think, I'm being quite candid with you, that the deeper understanding of ourself is one where we're at peace with our thoughts, where there's, instead of the tension, where we're pursuing our, as Joseph Campbell so nicely put it, we're pursuing our bliss. Here's the poetry that I've selected, a selection for today for us. This is something that a very lovely man had up on his office wall, and I had not heard it before, a doctor, and it was exceptional, and it's never been very far from my thoughts, but I would like to see, have it as a reference constantly, but you would all fire me. It's by Rudyard Kipling, the Nobel Prize-winning poet, British poet, English poet. If you can keep your head, it's called If. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you. But make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run. Yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And, which is more, you'll be a man, my son. This is Grammy Award-winning horn player Wynton Marsalis being accompanied and joined by the daughter of Ravi Shankar, that sitar player made famous in the Western world in the 60s and 70s. This is his granddaughter, Nora Jones.
You give your hand to me, and then you say, and I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and anyone can tell you say.
Then you say goodbye. I want you to walk away. Sorry that I left.
Yep, that'll do. That'll do, huh? That'll do. Doesn't get any better, does it? Life is good, gentlemen. Yeah. And true. Who really knows their true self enough to reveal that to you and I? It's all proximities and illusion. But if you've ever felt that way about someone special in your life, you will know what she's singing about. And if you haven't, then you've held off one of the finest and sweetest moments of life, and you'll savor it that much more, I would say. We have to plunge into spiritualism, I guess. Symbolism. The world is symbols, huh? Walk along, whether it's that Baroque movement, that misshapen pearl that we see when we walk along the ocean's shores, and the things that aren't supposed to be there are there, and they come to us with that sense of surprise and curiosity, always, always. You are the scientist, you are the Newton, you are the Aristotle, you are the Plato, you are Tyndale, you are Simone de Beauvoir, you are that genius. Because when you sit back, it's like when we listen to this music. This is music, this is jazz. It's not supposed to exist. The racists were selling human beings as property. Yeah. And those were the people that celebrated life when, in those seconds, when they weren't under the master's watch, when they were walking back from the fields, they were singing. And whether it was the gospels or folk music from their homelands, and it evolved, not because anybody gave them a leg up. They aspired to that joy. When you're in slavery, you realize at a certain point that people may put your body in a cage, but they cannot cage your mind. They cannot cage your imagination. They can whip us and beat us and harm us and threaten us. But they can never know whether that spark of hope, that element of to survive that's in the heart of the child that's being abused or the woman that's being beaten, they never know whether that spark is out. As much as they would try to extinguish it, they never quite can. Aspire? Well, we might think in our own weak moment that everybody that aspired to and grasped the meaning of Freemasonry was like us. But if we grow up a little bit and to look at the premise, we realize that it's a unique set of circumstance, pushed, driven, fed by people who were aspiring for something that, do a little better tomorrow than we did today. Now, does Freemasonry channel the category of that aspiration? Certainly not. But we know when we get there, when you're aspiring, being godless turns us into something unpleasant. That having a belief in that coaching, that connection with higher power, doesn't mean that we're personalizing creation. And some do. It has to be the embodiment of a person. And that's difficult to sort out. No. We find that there's some elements that are necessary at the end of days. We couldn't have had these lessons unless we were being taught by very astute people that we're reflecting over the course of a lifetime. This isn't something you project into your future. These are lessons that were taught from our elders. Accumulated knowledge that's passed on to the brightest students. So the aspirations that formed Grand Lodge, you set that aside, that was administration, and then you look at the beauty of the philosophical framework. The Grand Lodges didn't create the architecture. They grew it, they maintained it, but they didn't build it, eh? They didn't create it. The architecture was there because of the builders and architects. And after a while, you get certain size, or it appeals to so many. There's an appetite, a market, a recognition, a familiarity, and it needs some management to stop things from being chaotic. No, it's not in the ham-fisted way that somebody, the military usually plays on this. No. My goodness. Here. This is uncanny. We're going to talk today, this high holiday of the Christian calendar. Let's talk about the scriptural texts found in the old manuscripts. Is that okay? You mind? Yeah, just a little bit. You close your mind, close your eyes, close your eyes, and you're sitting in a lodge. And in this room, when you look around, you look to the left and you look to the right, you see wood, warmth, you see marble, you see polished metal, you see positions, there's a geometry to it that's unusual. Space itself is unusual. And on the walls around us are portals, maybe paintings that reflect on a window or a balcony that we're looking through those membranes to another reality, to a different reality. Or a simple, maybe we're seeing a nautilus that releases, if you're wondering why that, it releases a geometry. Or, those old-fashioned beehives. Or the compasses. Or a star. You think, this is all in your... And it's not something, we're going to make this in your mind. Something that is exceptional. The star actually sparkles, and it reflects light to us. And it has an iridescence. And it's not the only one in the room. It's like a virtual reality of four dimensions, or maybe even a fifth. Keep those eyes closed in order to see. Of the scriptural texts in the old manuscripts, those which relate to the use of the badge are almost the most numerous. First is the justification found in Genesis. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Oh, did an analyst have a field day with that one, yeah. In case fig leaves might not have been thought suitable Masonic adornment, another material is found to be suitable in the 21st verse of the same chapter. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. This to be sort of, isn't this getting into that murky stuff around Anderson's early history, James Anderson, that he just sort of made up? I'm just saying. And a nice little quote here from Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes and the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye not seek after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring. Always the digger, you know, you're doing so well, and then you got to let that misogynist old dog out. Eh? Women aren't the symbol of weakness. God. You just need to spin this stuff. Eh? And when we look at a Hasidic Jew with the fringe coming out from under his overcoat, we understand there's a pious man. Passage our forebears found not just justification for the symbolism itself, but also for the apron to be a real symbol in the accepted sense, a reminder to follow the commandments of God. Yeah. There you go. Whose book? Commandments, yeah. I like to think of them more as ideas. If my scripture wasn't written by a sort of a militaristic group, you know, a muscular group that wanted to rain down hell on any non-believers or people that questioned, I'm not too interested in those conversations. I want the conversation with you, where we're like this. We're sitting back and we're talking, trying to just make sense of it all. Not with somebody prodding us with a pointed stick and threatening us. If you don't do that, oh, if you're running with scissors, no, don't go swimming just after you've eaten. Ugh. You know. In this passage, our forebears found not just justification, but a reminder. And the story of the signs, it's interesting that we're having a reflection on the work of Moses. He's a prophet, yeah. And one that is validated in a number of faiths. And in the harvest, the meaning of the word tells the story of the use of a difficult word used as a test word to find out the Ephraimites. Now, the use of metal tools, and particularly tools of iron, is the subject of several of the quotations referred to in the old manuscripts. Now, check this out. If you have a King James Version of the Bible lying around, where I am, that's not too unusual. In 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, part of the story of the building of King Solomon's temple. We do like a good story about a building, Norman. The lectures reflect the wonder expressed that the actual construction was carried out without the aid of metal tools. The old lectures go on to say that the use of metal tools would pollute the temple. Well, of course they would. This view on iron tools is confirmed. Well, you know, if we're writing before the Iron Age, about a period of history before the Iron Age, and you're writing about, okay. This view on iron tools is confirmed by other texts given. Check out Exodus chapter 20, verse 25, and Deuteronomy. It's there a few times. Huh? This matter of pollution by the use of metal has taken all the justification for the symbolism of depriving a candidate of all metals, as indeed the ceremony states, rather than just valuables. The importance and nature of the charity charge in the northeast corner has tended to obscure this further piece of original symbolism, which still survives in our present ceremonies. Little reminder. The next time we get together, we're going to talk about the use of numbers, especially the numbers 3, 5, and 7. And they appear to have a special significance in present-day ceremonies. Remember? And the work at the end of the 18th century, and you, if you're thinking about those numbers, especially the numbers of the measurements of the steps, you'll find that they have something to do with an interesting geometry. You go and get the ritual, especially in the second degree. Yeah. But we'll come back. We'll get back to this as soon as we possibly can. Today, unfortunately, we're wrapping up. All together too soon. But enough. Enough. Masonic Effects is a meal to be savored in small flavors. Not something that we're just going to gorge ourselves on. These are small flavors, so we have to wind down. We have to. I am so happy that you're, I'm so pleased that you have found reason to connect with us. And if you want to get in touch, use our Gmail account, masonicfxfx@gmail.com, and I'll be pleased to stay in connection with you. And yeah, I have some things going on in the background that's just taking me forever to get initiated, guest speaker, and things like that. I look forward to being with you again real soon, and in the meantime, commit those acts of random Masonic kindness. This is a beautiful voice, French jazz singer Vera Idini. I think you'll like her. This is from a live performance. Yeah, check this out.
Le ciel dira non. Yeah.